Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
My string's alive, folks, with laughing as we come into the show. I wish we hit the recording button like a split second too late. As Russ, here's Russ is ready. Okay, I'm ready. How are you, old Belcher? What's going on?
I'm
Russ
good.
Cortinel, me,
really
Jungle
good.
Jim, a little snap of the old White Claw, and we're off to do another show of The Suspendables. Thanks for joining us, as we do it each and every week, and this is playoffs. Playoffs are underway. Let me first see, Russ, if you can figure out what I did last night. Okay, hang on. And goodbye, you moonlight ladies. Rock-a-bye, sweet baby James. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams or something like that. I went to James Taylor last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love James Taylor.
Yeah, he's touring. He opened up with Jackson Brown.
No way.
Yeah, he's touring with him. So I went. It was at the big Rogers Center here. And I got to admit, Russ, I thought I was old, you know. Of course I'm going, you know, I'm 60. Yeah. And I don't know, I might have been the youngest guy there. I was telling Stevie, it's like people were limping and had walkers and fucking canes. And
oh my God,
the escalator was back. How, right up.
That's well, great for your confidence.
Yeah, totally good. Yeah. No one was taking the stairs.
Some cougars, you know, checking you out.
It was unreal. It was unreal. The quietest concert I've ever been to. You know, they're trying, you know, these, they, you know, everyone stand up, you know, about like 10 people did, you know, and the other's like, no, fuck that. I'm not standing up. But I'll tell you what.
If you hit on the wrong girl, you could outrun anybody in the audience.
Anyway, great show. Laid back, right? Jackson Brown played for about an hour. And then in a really cool thing, James Taylor just drifted on stage while Jackson Brown was still playing. You know, usually there'd be a big break and, you know, and mm-hmm. he played the last couple tunes. And I just assumed it would be more of an acoustic thing, you know, James Taylor and a stool and his guitar and telling stories. But it's a full-on concert production, like a huge band.
Wow.
Really cool video backdrops with every song. The choreography of the thing was off the charts, man. It was, anyway, here I am now. I'm sounding older and older. So off I went to James Taylor. And so I'm singing James Taylor tunes today.
Perfect. I'm looking him up. How old he is.
74.
James Taylor.
74. And he jumps around stage like, and he's absolutely hilarious, Russ. He's
74, hilarious. March 12th.
Yeah, just had his birthday. And he's very funny. He said, he goes, well, some of these songs, you know, this next song I'm going to play was the day I recovered from addiction, right?
And no.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, so it's many years ago, right? He goes, so for you guys who are new in recovery, you know, maybe these songs will help you. Good luck. Go get them. I wish you all the best. And he said, because a bunch of these songs may help you. And then Rusty, he goes on to say, and I've got a bunch of other songs for all you fucked up people.
No way.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Yeah, you guys keep ripping along. Anyway, I really enjoyed it.
He's a Boston boy. I wonder if he grew up Boston, Massachusetts. Born there. I don't know if he was
born there. I think he was a Carolina guy after that, or spent a lot of time. Then I think he lives in L.A.
Jackson
now.
Brown, 73.
Yeah, yeah, and they both look good. They both look good.
I'm just looking at them on my phone, and amazing.
Anyway, they're doing a tour.
Carly Simon. He's married to Carl. He was married to Carly Simon.
He was who?
James Taylor.
I think he was not.
Yeah,
not,
1972 to 83, and then yeah. Catherine Walker.
Yeah, he's had a few marriages.
Look at me,
right?
Stats. Just call me stats.
Stats ahoy! How was the week, Rusty? How was everything?
Good. The golf course was shut down, so that was a bit odd having a 2 week break. I played L.A. Country Club with a friend, and that was during the break. Play yeah. and back at OJ's it today. Actually shot 84 today, which is good for me. 42,
at
42.
Sherwood?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What tees are you playing? We play the
combo, black, blue.
Yeah, yeah.
Combo. So
about 6,000, you're maybe 6,200, something like that.
I don't
that.
Even know.
Yeah. How far
I'm just
are you
trying
hitting?
To. I still hit it pretty good. 280 probably. I'm off the tee, but my irons. Yeah,
holy
around.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that's deep.
But when my irons, I'm definitely not hitting it as far as I used to. There's a hole I played with Gary Lehman in 2013.
Yeah,
and
he's a good player, right?
He's a freaking excellent player. He's awesome. So he comes down for the Breeders' Cup. He's a big horse guy, and we play Sherwood. He played off a six or something. Shot
right
66.
Oh, no way.
And I got my only hole in one on 13. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm hitting it. So I hit a pitching wedge, 143 yards, hole in one. Today, I'm hitting an 8-iron there.
Same as my hole. Buddy.
9 years later. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm the same. Not as flexible, you know, older. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun. I play with Lawton. My son's still home. Season they didn't make the playoffs in Charleston, East Coast Hockey League. So they're done. He's been home for a while. My frickin' wine cellar has been absolutely demolished.
Oh, he's took right takes after his
oh,
dad.
Oh yeah, he likes his wine just like dad. So it's perfect. So I open up some good wine because he really appreciates it. So he and I are watching the games, drinking wine, telling nice. Stories. And he leaves this week. Friday's driving up to Denver to spend the summer there. His girlfriend's a nurse there, so he's going to spend the off season in Denver.
Is he going to make the NHL, Russ?
He's got all the talent. Like he's fast, he's big, he's great. You know, he's 6'2", 205, big kid. He's really fast, and right. like he's NHL fast. He's probably faster than most players.
Like you, another thing after his dad.
Yeah. Different speed, but anyways, he's fast and he's a good penalty killer and a good player. And he just he's had 2 years pro now, so we'll see. You know, he's got the
how old is he?
He's
Russ?
Got the time. He's 26. So
26. Okay,
right. Couple there. More years of trying and see what happens.
Yeah.
So you never know, but he's
we'll be watching.
Yeah he's getting better.
We'll
he
be
keeps
watching.
Improving, which is a good thing.
When did you make the NHL? How old were you?
I was 18.
Your first NHL game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played in the Olympics. I got drafted to Toronto and then went back to junior. Played on the World Juniors in Sweden. And then after that, I got called up to the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
And played in the 84 Olympics and got home from the Olympics. And I got a call from Toronto. So I finished the season. As an 18-year-old with the Leafs, my first part of my season, I looked so young when I was in Toronto. Yeah. I mean, I laugh even when I was my fifth year in the league. I'm 23 and playing from. I got traded in Montreal, and I look at the pictures and I look like I was 12.
Right,
but I looked so young that Harold Ballard just shook. He would always shake his head, and finally, I think I was in playing for Toronto in Montreal. And he goes, I got to get a picture with this kid. He's the first player I've ever paid who doesn't shave. Oh, God.
That's young. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Young,
I was, but I looked like I did hit puberty late. I mean, I don't think I hit it till I was 16. So I was like 2 years out, right. 2 years into having a little bit of hair.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
Are you okay with the age of draft? Russ, I've never asked you this about, I mean, you're I guess kids are getting scouted at what age now, Russ?
They're probably, I don't even know. I can't even comment on that, but there's the thing about the draft is it's a crapshoot for so many players because you know, kids like hit puberty late and then they keep it, you know, hopefully they keep developing and they keep getting better. So, you know, that kid might be overlooked. My brother Jeff never got drafted. Mm-hmm. He was late to the game in every aspect. And then when he was 20, he just blossomed into this really good player. And I mean, he was always a good player, but he grew, you know, he put on a bunch of weight and grew like 9 inches in like a year and a half or something. And he was overlooked and then ended up being an incredible left winger and scored almost 400 goals. And so it's good and bad. The kids who are ready and mature enough can get drafted and then step in early. But then there's those kids that, you know, you get lucky and they keep developing and they keep getting better. So I think it's appropriate, the draft.
Would you be more of a guy or coach or GM, whoever makes the decision, would you be more of a guy to whip the kid into NHL games right away or send him starting with the minor league club?
Well, it just depends on the player. I think sending them to the minors isn't a bad thing. I think it depends where the team, like who's coaching, what kind of players do you have down there? I mean, you're investing a lot of time and money into this player. You got to make sure that, I mean, you don't want to coddle them, but you want to make sure they're going to develop the right way. And some players are ready to go and step right up and play right away. So it just depends. I'm all for not rushing players, mm-hmm. but if they're ready, give them the opportunity.
Right. We talked, you just bring me on to something. We've talked about your days in Toronto and Montreal and how different it is being a player in those two hockey hotbeds. No doubt about it, you know.
Oh my God.
And it's maybe awesome. Maybe one and two, you know, is New York tougher to play in? I don't think so. Right. It's too big a city. What was it like, Russ, playing in LA? I remember when Gretz got traded there. I mean, you know, things just changed so much mm-hmm. for LA. What's the whole celebrity deal there, Russ, with all these people going to the games? Do they know hockey or is it, it's just something you want to be seen at? And
a lot of them I played as kids and like I used to play in the Sunday Bruckheimer game. Jerry Bruckheimer is a famous producer.
Sure, sure.
And he put together this game and Cuba Gooding Jr. was there, Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. Kiefer Sutherland, Mike Myers, who played, you know, grew up in Toronto.
Right.
There was all these guys and Billy Bush, who I've become friends with.
Right.
He played hockey against, he played in back east and he played high school hockey.
Oh.
And so they have a connection. It seems like a lot of these celebrities do.
Yep.
And then they get to LA and then Gretzky came and they all went, oh my God, I want to play hockey again. So they did. And then some guys like Cuba Gooding, he just wanted to learn how to play cause he loved it so much.
Right.
So it was an interesting group. Who's the guy who's married to Michelle Pfeiffer? He came out and played.
I don't know.
And he played college hockey and he owns all like the CSIs or something. Like he's another movie producer, big, a really famous producer of David something. Anyways,
we'll get our stats.
So Michelle Pfeiffer's husband. So guys like that came out of the woodwork, you know, and when we played on that Sunday game, I couldn't wait to have beers after and hear Mike Myers just go off for like 2 hours. It was freaking hilarious.
Cool guy.
He's so cool and he loves hockey. And I got knocked out of the playoffs I was with Dallas playing against Vancouver, got knocked out by the Canucks brothers yep. team. I pack up in Dallas, Paris and I and Allie go to Vancouver. So I'm going to every home game in Vancouver as they go all the way to the finals against New York. I'm walking up the stairs in the old Coliseum in Vancouver and Mike Myers is coming down the stairs with a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey on.
Yeah, he's a big Leafs fan, right?
And he's like, Russ, how are you? He hugged me and high-fived me. And I'm like, people around me were like, they were blown away that this famous Mike Myers was like going nuts off.
Right.
But he is that crazy of a hockey fan.
Yes. Oh, cool. Gretz told the hilarious story.
Are you going to tell the story?
Yeah, it's just to give you the long and short of it. So at the last minute, Gretz is like, I don't know, the game's an hour away or something. And he Myers phones the dressing room, gets through. I mean, taboo to bother a player.
In Toronto. Yeah.
But it's taboo to bother a player on game day.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, leave him alone, right? You don't request anything. You don't. Okay. Yeah. And Myers is phoning an hour before the game. He gets through. They give Wayne the phone. Wayne's like, what the what? And it's Mike Myers. Can you get me some tickets for the game?
Yeah.
And Gretz hangs up the phone. Everyone's got a kid in each city. He knows the kid to go to, flips him a bunch of dough and says, go buy a couple from the scalpers. Okay. And blah, blah. So he does it. What a move. What a move by the great one.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's so Wayne's playing for LA, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
And so he does. Gives the kid a stick, and so the kid finds the tickets. And anyway, Gretz is out in the warm-up skating around in the circle, and great seats, like lower bowl, four or five rows up or something like that. And Gretz is, you know, wheels around and catches Mike Myers' face, only to see him decked out in maple leaf shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Jersey, scarf, okay, he had the hat.
Oh, yeah.
No. Going, oh, Gretz is going, what does a guy got to do to get a fan around here? Oh, you know, fuck,
that was funny.
True story. David and Kelly is the producer you're trying to think of.
So in the old Maple Leaf Gardens, there was a will call. You went up these stairs and so Mike Myers went up to will call and he told the lady, like, you know, there should be tickets here. There should be tickets here. And then they called from there to the visiting locker room and said, Mr. Gretzky, got Mike Myers on the phone and he's looking for tickets that were supposed to be here for him and they're not. And I don't know what to say. And that's when Wayne did what he did. But when Wayne hung up, because the phone's right in the old dressing room there in the corner, and he turns around, he goes, boys, just got tickets for Mike Myers.
We can't lose. Except
like, oh my God. And then the whole team saw him in warmups all dressed up and down. Yeah, but so back to the being in LA is funny. There are lots of celebrities. When I played here, we weren't that good. Mm-hmm. But there was this bar called the Forum Club, and our family room was right beside it. So after the game, you know, all the wives and kids are in this room that's really kind of part of the Forum Club bar. Mm-hmm. And that thing was packed. Like, it was packed with celebrities. It was one of the best bars maybe in LA for celebrities. And I can only imagine what it was like with the Lakers, because the Lakers were freaking enormous. I mean, they're Magic Johnson and those guys. I mean, they must have just had everybody. But we, you know, we had our hockey fans, and it was fun. It was a good spot. There were some players that were more interested in going to that bar than playing in the game. The guy who backed up Kelly Rudy would shower after warmups and put his clean underwear on under his hockey gear. And so as soon as the game was over, he would strip out of his gear. And he didn't have to shower, and he'd put a suit on and go right to be the first guy in the Forum Club.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I went to the Forum Club with Glennie Gretzky. We went down to watch when the year Wayne got traded. And we called it Glenn and Jim's Excellent Adventure. You know,
used to hang out with John Candy in there.
Yeah, I bet a bunch of guys. And anyway, I was like a starstruck kid when I was there, the people that were there. Stevie, jump in here. What's happening with the draft? What's the draft lottery, I think. Does it happen today, Steve? The draft lottery? Bring us up to speed. How does this thing work?
Well, it's happening Tuesday, May 10th as we record this. And right now the Montreal Canadiens have the best opportunity to win first overall. I think it's an 18.5% chance because they were dead last, and kind of all filters down from there. The bottom 16 teams that did not make the playoffs, they're the ones that are all involved in the draft. I think anybody who finished 11th worst or worse, has a chance at number one overall.
How many, I've never asked this question. How many like balls or tickets, what did they put in there in that barrel?
Yeah, I think there's something like over 1,000 different combinations that it could come out, but exactly how many balls are in there, I don't have that answer for you. I do know that the podcast listenership would go down to zero by the time there'd be nobody listening by the time I was done.
Right.
Okay.
The question is, Rusty, about this thing is, Stevie and I were talking today on his podcast, SWP, by the way, if you want to tune into a little daily podcast that we do. What's with the whole luck thing here, Rust, of deciding on a huge day, a huge thing for a team, trying to snap up a first rounder, and yet it's a scratch and win? Like, is there not a better way, Rust, that this should be done? Like Stevie, for example, talked about, you got the 16 teams who make the playoffs, and now you got an even 16 who don't. Should we have a little 16-team tournament and the results?
No.
You know, at least it's a skill prize, Russ, you know, that you get depending on how you finish. Or
I think the bottom three or four should have a crack at the first pick overall. And after that, it should just be how you finished. I think this whole freaking lottery thing's bullshit.
Because
teams were sewering, right?
But they sewered their year
so they could get Mario Lemieux. And so they did this to stop teams from losing on purpose. So, you know, they could get the first pick.
Right.
But having everybody or many teams involved is stupid. It should just be the bottom four.
And it still pays to tank games, Russ.
Yeah. I mean, your percentages go up, but
right.
You can't trade away every, I mean, I guess you just get a better chance, but in the old days, I mean, you lost on purpose to,
you can't have a sports league. You can't have a sports league, Russ. It still is like that, where it pays you to lose games.
Well, but you don't have a guarantee that you're going to get the pick.
I know, but anyway, so that's happening. I don't know where my Oilers are, what percentage they have. They're in the playoffs.
They don't want a first round pick. We've seen what they've done with those.
Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
Playoffs, Rusty. Six of the series are tied 2-2.
Yeah.
Colorado wraps it up against Nashville. Pittsburgh.
Colorado's doing exactly what Mr. Sutter from Calgary said. Remember, he said, whoever gets them in the first round, it's going to be a waste of 8 days.
Yeah.
They did it in six.
Yeah, they did it. Yeah, exactly. 7 days or something.
Or seven.
So now, Rusty, you got these great series.
Mm-hmm.
The Nashville, right, has gone. Now they got to go, okay, what do we got to do? That was terrible and all this shit. They had some injuries, though. A lot of talk, Rusty. We got the Oilers here playing your Kings against my Oilers. And 2-2, good series, mm-hmm. like the other five are that are tied 2-2. On the post-game show, Brownie is the guy here. He played for Pittsburgh, Russ Brown.
Oh, yeah, Rob Brown?
Rob Brown's the analyst here. Great. He's great. The people are calling in talking about, like I've heard in playoffs, Russ, where they'll, you know, they lose a game or whatever, or win a game. But if they lose a game, a lot of the questions will be, what are you going to do? Like, say during regular season, you know, and you'll often hear, we're going to win with our best guys and we're going to lose with our best guys. Yeah. We're going to, you know, everyone's going to stick to the system, you know, backs against the wall, all this shit. But in playoffs, Russ, it's desperate every game. And one of the things Rob was talking about last night is busting up lines for the Oilers and making like these radical changes. You know, it's a best of three now, the Kings and the Oilers. What happens, Russ, there? You've been on playoff teams.
Usually it's a sign of weakness, you know, when you have to bust up your lines. But sometimes you need to get guys going, and who knows, sometimes people are hurt and, you know, there are slumps that happen. So sometimes it's just justified that you need to change things up just to get a new look. And, But usually when you're mixing up your lines, it's a sign of weakness. It's not a good thing.
Right.
But can it turn some guys around? Absolutely. Gives guys, especially in Edmonton, because there's, you know, you've got some unbelievable players there to play with. So all of a sudden you move somebody on with McDavid and they're turned into Bobby Hall.
Right. Right. I'm going to give you an update, Rusty, on how you would be doing, how you are doing. I've kept it
I've won. I picked Colorado.
But if
I'm
they,
one for one.
Okay, here's who you picked. Okay. You picked Colorado.
Yeah.
You're actually doing great, okay, so far. You picked Calgary. They're tied 2-2.
Yeah.
You picked Florida.
2-2.
Thank God. The Rangers are down 3-1, so that's your worst. Yeah,
that's my worst one.
The Minnesota Wild, 2-2 with St. Louis.
Yeah.
Is that who they're playing? Minnie's playing St. Louis. Yeah. The Leafs, you picked?
2-2.
The Oilers?
2-2.
And Carolina?
2-2. Right.
So you're right in there, man.
Yeah.
You're right in there.
I'm one for one.
Yes, you are one for one. So what do you think? You've been watching the games with your son. What give us your take on the some of the playoff games?
I'm shocked at New York, but then again, you can't, you know, freaking Pittsburgh with Crosby. I mean, he's one of the best players, right? Mm-hmm. Ever. And
Bieksa said he's skating better than he's ever seen him, like a kid.
Yeah, he looks good out there, and New York just looks befuddled by the whole thing. They're just out of sorts. But that one's surprising me. Washington is playing they're playing a lot better than I thought. But then again, I shouldn't have been freaking surprised with them winning recent. You know, they've won. So mm-hmm. You got guys that can win. And I would have lost a lot of money on the King game the other night after them getting smoked. Those two games was right. 14 goals to 2 and 2 back-to-back games. I would have picked Edmonton to just smoke them, and they end up losing 4-0.
Right.
It's crazy. To me, it looks like the teams, when they're down, they just quit and they start playing shinny hockey and getting ready for the next game. It really doesn't, you know, when the old days, it was like, okay, you're down now, start playing more physical, try to do something that would help you in the next game. And to me, the playoffs look like, oh, we're down 3-0. Okay, we're just going to get out of this game, not play too physical, try to score a couple goals and, you know, get ready for the next game. So not every series is like that, but some of the games I've seen look a little weak.
Right. Let's talk about the refereeing, Russ. I'm getting the sense, because I'm watching a bunch of it. I'm watching a bunch of it, and it sure as shit seems to me like the refs are calling everything. I've
maybe
watched,
too much, you think?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Yeah. It's like, it looks like they have this mandate of, you know, going into the play. They must, do they meet ahead of time, Russ, these refs, and say, okay, we're going to play it tight or what?
They must, but I don't know how it works. I have no clue what they do or don't do as far as meeting, but I would assume everybody's got a boss, right? So they must talk, and then, you know, it's just being consistent is that's what everybody wants. They mm-hmm. want it. They want the calls the same, whether you like it or not, they really do. They just want it to be called both ways for both right. teams. And when it doesn't go that way, man, people just lose their minds, especially in the playoffs.
Going into playoffs, obviously different than regular season, right? But so now you've got potentially 7 games.
Yeah.
I would think, Russ, you get a sense of that in the first games. Like, would you say, if I'm the coach, right, I'm going, okay, see what you can get away with here, boys. Okay. Like if you're sending out your fourth line, yeah. right, your checking line or something, go fucking hard. Okay. Get a little dirty and let's see what happens. You know, like, not crazy.
Yeah,
would you try that?
No, because if you get a penalty and they score, I mean, you could lose a game off a bad penalty. You hear so many coaches talk about being smart and not taking a bad penalty. So you really want to know how far you can push and what's going to be called and what's not. And especially those aggressive players, they don't want to be the goat where they get, you know, they take a bad penalty and then the game is lost because of that penalty. So they really got to be careful. And a lot of years when I played, a lot of the tough guys didn't play in the playoffs because there was no fighting. So you didn't really need to dress some of them.
Right.
The guys who could play, like not only just fight, but the guys who were good on the ice too, they would get to play in the playoffs. But if you look back, there was years when guys didn't dress a lot during the playoffs.
I've said this a lot. Mark Messier said you can tell the Gunners, the guys who want to step up mm-hmm. compared to the guys who don't. What was the play the other night, Stevie, where the dude didn't skate, didn't try and get the puck?
Nylander.
Yeah. That was Wayne Gretzky. He called him out for it. He's not by name, but in the intermission, he said, you got to be able to take a hit to make a play. And that's who he's referring to. Nylander had the puck, kind of lost it as he went over the blue line, and it dribbles into the corner. And Eric Chernak, who's an absolute monster, he's like 6'3", 230. He knew he was going to get there second, but Nylander put the brakes on. He could have gotten there first easily. He put the brakes on, let Chernak have the puck, and then engaged. And the guys on TNT during the broadcast were saying he should sit out the rest of this game for that.
Wow. Do you guys get TNT in Canada? You can.
Maybe not legally.
Yeah. No, I think
I'm telling you it's the best. It's the best. So I don't get all the programs, but as far as what I do get down here, it's the best panel in hockey.
It's good.
It's the most entertaining. I've watched ESPN with Chelly and Mess, and now they got Subban on there. And then in Canada, I've seen them during the season, right. Hockey Night in Canada, and there's just no comparison.
I got it the other day. You'll get American.
It's freaking awesome. It's educational for anyone who wants to learn about the game. It's funny and entertaining. They're doing such a great job. Right. I've really been I'd rather watch them than anybody else. I actually, some of the games I've turned off because I want to just listen to those guys in between.
Yeah, periods. you get it here really when they good. Carry American games. Because I saw them the good. Other night. In fact, it was hilarious. Talk it was out there. You know, they got sticks and they're trying to describe plays and stuff, right? And the guy lifted Talk in the nuts with the blade.
Oh, I saw that. Fucking so childish.
It was funny. Huh?
No, it wasn't. That's not fucking funny.
What's wrong with you?
Hitting a guy in the nuts. You do that.
That's
in
something you would do to me. What are you talking about?
No, I would never do that to you. My brother fucking did that to me on the golf course. I almost hit him over the head with my driver.
Boy. Ooh, testy.
Yeah, players are doing that because they got a cup on. You know, you see players hitting each other because they've got a protective cup. And I think Biz is great, but that was so immature what he did. It was not good. Those guys are doing it on TV with cups on, and there's a guy, Rick Tocchet, with a suit on, and he bags him on live TV. Are you kidding me? I wish Rick had hit him over the fucking head with his stick.
Wow, Rusty. Wow.
Yeah, that's the only thing I didn't like about the show so far. And I'm a huge fan of Biz's. Like I'm just so impressed with what he's mm-hmm. done post career. Right. You know, he's got a spit and chiclets, makes $3.5 million a year from that. He's getting paid by TNT $1.5 million.
Is he? Wow, nice.
And he makes $2.5 million a year off Pink Whitney. The guy's a success story, and I hung out with him last summer. I really like him. He's great, but what he did was bullshit.
Well, I'm taken aback.
I'll tell him that.
All right.
It's not funny.
There's only tick this off. I had a bunch more shit to say. Russ, let's.
But their show is great.
Let's back up to Nylander then to get your reaction to that. What do you do if you're the coach, if you're another player, and you see some guy getting scared about going into the corner? What happens then?
Well, I think what you do with Nylander is you bring him into the coach's room and you show him the video and go, how the hell do you expect us to win when you're one of our best players and you do this? Like, what kind of leadership is that? And you put him on the spot. I don't think you have to do it in front of the whole team, but I think you bring him in and go, you know, you're somebody a lot of our players are looking up to. You've made great strides to be a better player. And then this, you know, what is this?
Right.
And I'd put him on the spot. I mean, Toronto, the one thing about Toronto is nothing goes unnoticed.
Right.
So he's going to have lots. And I really like him as a player and stuff, but you can't play soft in the playoffs. You can't.
What, Rusty, take us inside the locker room during playoff games. Teams exit the ice, into the dressing room. What happens with the coaches, Russ? In those 20 minutes that you get a break, what goes on in the locker room?
Well, normally the coaches go into their office. Players come in, take their jerseys off, you know, get tape, take their tape off their sticks, go to the washroom, get something to drink. You know, there's usually everybody has drinks at their stall that they have. The right. Same drinks every game, and guys are just relaxing there. When I played, there was a TV on in the weight room. So guys would go and watch the intermission. Like I always like going to watch, you know, Cherry in between periods or whoever. So I like to relax. Some guys are, you know, just sitting in their stall real quiet. Other, you know, there's a little chatter going on usually.
So it's not the coaches coming in and screaming and yelling. Like, I guess depends how the game's going, right, Russ?
I mean, if you shit the bed and it had a bad period, the coach will come in right away and snap, but tell everybody, you know, stop what you're doing and lose their minds. But usually they come back with 5 minutes before you're to go out and start talking about, you know, what you need to do and positive, negatives.
Right.
You know, if the guys need a pick-me-up speech, you know, they might do that, but usually not till right before you're to go back on the ice and guys are all buttoned up and ready to go.
Rusty, we had one game so far that was into double, maybe triple overtime. I don't know. Would you change the overtime, Russ? It doesn't happen a lot, but it sure kicks the shit out of guys when they got to go more than an extra period in overtime. Would you change any of that, Russ? We've seen a bunch of changes in overtime.
No. Yeah, no, I wouldn't change it because you can't really, because you got to keep the schedule of the games, right? Because the arenas are booked. You've got basketball playing in the same arenas. You've got concerts. I mean, you can't say, oh, we're not going to play after two periods. We're going to play tomorrow.
No, I don't. I don't mean that, Russ, so much as the format of the overtime. Would you go to 4-on-4?
No, I would leave it. No.
You leave it full steam ahead?
Yeah. I just make sure they keep the frickin' bars open. make sure they keep serving food and booze. Yeah,
like the casino. Barry Trotz, why would that guy ever get fired, Rusty? Why would they ever fire one of the best coaches in a long time in the NHL?
So the Detroit Red Wings can hire him?
Whoa, good one. Okay. Why? Yeah, why?
There you go.
Why Detroit? Well, they need a
good... You know what? Sometimes... Well, he's a great coach, and I think he's a perfect fit. They're starting to improve, and they let go of their guy after 7 years. So the coach is just some... You know, great coaches lose the room too. You know, they their voice gets old and guys are like, it's easier to change one coach than 20 players. And so GMs get pressure to win and they've got a boss, usually an owner or president. Mm-hmm. And, usually the GM changes coaches two or three times before they get fired. So if they're getting heat from up top, they're going to make a change and blame it on somebody. They're not going to blame it on themselves and say, oh, you know what? Fire me.
Right.
So you know, I think Scotty Bowman was fired a couple times. Pat Quinn was fired a couple times.
Right.
Pat Burns was fired three times. I mean, good coaches get replaced.
Right. Right. Do you think,
Look at the job Daryl Sutter's done
Calgary.
In Calgary. I would have lost that bet. I thought he was done. Wait. I just thought his age and the way he is, and I've never played for him. I played against him when he was a player. And he has done such a great job. And yeah, I think what he's done too is he's given life to a lot of older coaches.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we were kind of headed in that direction of the younger coach. And he's done such a great job, and he's commanded so much respect from those players and getting them to play a team-oriented game. And so I'm blown away at how good he's done and what he's convinced those young players to do.
And ironically, Russ, everyone loves his press conference. They become viral.
Oh, my God.
Ironically, yeah. When as much as we laugh, it's like, does this guy just hate being in hockey right now? Like, does he fucking hate being a coach? You know what I mean, Russ? It's like,
I don't think so. I think he's just, somebody on the show who said he's really a lot smarter guy than people give him credit for? Or, I don't know. Was that Chris Nyland said that or somebody? I don't know. Somebody said something about him. He's a lot smarter person than you think. Give him credit for. But I sure love listening to him, man. Oh, my God. Well, on Instagram, he pops up now and just it'll be a 30-second answer to a question. It's like he could be down here in L.A. now with his own TV show, man.
Exactly. Yeah, YouTube channel.
I'm pulling for Calgary. I'm pulling for him because I want to keep hearing his freaking press conference interviews.
I don't know how to explain it. If I try and imitate him, it's like, you know, the breathless reporter, right? It'll be, okay, you guys didn't play that good. You were, your top line was -2. Those two guys got in the corner. They didn't mix it up. You think they should have? What's happening there, Coach Sutter, with that? He goes, I don't know.
How many people in Calgary are walking around the city the day of a game looking for him? Because he sounds like he's out walking.
Yeah,
because he talks about talking to the fans. And when I was in LA, I saw him out walking around day of a game downtown LA.
Yep.
So he's probably a walker, right? So and I could just see the fans.
You got to win. Yeah, you got to win. I don't know. I don't know.
I just had some wine delivered, so I'm just waving to the guy at the door.
Okay, Rusty, off we go. I'm trying to keep him about 45 minutes. Do you think Mike Babcock will ever show up here, Russ, again in the NHL?
Oh, I thought you were talking about as a guest on the podcast. He's going to need some, I don't know. You haven't heard his name a lot. And maybe that's a good thing. Because he probably needed some time for all these negative stories or press, whatever you want to call it, to kind of go away. And maybe he'll make a resurgence. But man, oh man, talk about a guy who's like out of sight, out of mind. You don't even hear his name anymore.
I heard he was going to coach a provincial, a university team in Saskatchewan.
University of Saskatoon.
He coached them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the last I heard.
Okay, Rusty, we're going to go, but we need your what do you think so far in the playoffs? Colorado's the obvious. Let's leave them out of it. It's like leaving Mario and Gretz out of a draft.
The only series I'm worried about right now is Pittsburgh, New York. And I think all four series that are tied that are tonight, I think other than Edmonton, I think Edmonton could come back from a loss against the Kings. And win in 7. But I don't know about the other three. I don't know if those teams, I think whoever wins tonight in those other three series is going to win.
Okay, man.
Who are you betting on? Just so maybe we
can. Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Here comes the cooler.
I am going to bet. I'll
God.
I'll do this for next week, I guess. We'll have to, We'll have to look at it. But the game starts. I'm going to bet the Oilers. So this is, what's the date today? This is game five.
The 10th.
Game five, Oilers. Okay, Oilers. I'm going to take the Hurricanes over the Bruins.
Wow.
Hurricanes. And I'm taking the Leafs, man. I want the Leafs to win. And I'm taking St. Louis. So I will. Yeah. Oilers, Hurricanes, Leafs for games. These are all game fives.
Tampa's got the best goalie possibly in the world. So that's the only thing that scares me.
Yeah, well, he's lost two games.
I know that.
He's lost two games.
But he's the only. Oh, my God. He's good.
We got to get out of here, Rusty. Good job. Let's go, Oilers.
Let's go, Oilers. Let's go, Leafs.
Let's go, Leafs. Let's go, Oilers. We're on the same page. We'll talk to you later, everybody. Rusty, you got a wine order, you said, coming in.
Yeah.
You know how we know your wine order's coming in? We hear this. Beep. Could you imagine Stevie, a guy having to rent a U-Haul to get his wine order? That's awesome.
We did have to get a second recycle bin.
Like I said, they probably think you're glass blowers, your neighbors. Let's get out of here. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. You've been listening to The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim, and him, Rusty Cardinal. Playoff, baby!
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode. Leave a positive review and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.